Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Welcome to On Driven on Joy 94.9 with your hosts Kafam and Hugh. On tonight's program, we'll talk to Babu. Babu comes from originally from a village in Nepal at the foothills of Mount Everest. Babu will take us through his story from his poor village in Nepal to his life in Australia. Once again, we have another great discussion coming up tonight here on Driven, so stay with us for the next hour here on Joy 94.9. Joy 94.9, this is On Driven with Kafam and Hugh. Keep on with the wonderful Will Young.
Isn't he lovely?
Oh, he's lovely. I love him.
How are you, Hugh?
Very well, Kafam. How are you? And welcome back to On Driven.
Oh, thank you. I've missed coming on air.
Yeah. How long were you away?
3 months.
Oh, too long. Nice to have you back.
Yes, we have a full-packed show tonight.
We do.
And I'm just reading at the bio sheet, and we got a guest from Nepal.
We do.
At the Mount, you know, at the foothill of Mount Everest.
Yes. Yes. Wonderful. And our guest tonight is Babu. Welcome, Babu, to On Driven.
Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome. And also with Babu, we have Jeffrey. Welcome, Jeffrey.
Good evening, everyone.
Oh, I should actually say welcome back, Jeffrey, because you were here about 3 weeks ago.
Yes, and becoming a habit.
Jeffrey's actually Babu's partner, so we've invited Jeffrey along to help with the story that Babu is going to give us, because you are linked, your stories are linked a little bit as well, and you did talk about Babu when we spoke to you, Jeffrey, didn't you?
That's correct, yes,
we did. But tonight, we're going to start off with Babu. Babu, do you want to just tell us where you come from?
I born, obviously, from Nepal, the mountain or village boy.
You're a village boy?
Yeah.
So your village, what's the name of your village?
I born the nearby the Namche, which is called the base camp of the Mount Everest.
Okay, must be beautiful.
Very beautiful, because of the 6 months almost is snow and all the what is called the egg cow, mountain cow.
Okay, yeah.
And people is wearing the long dress and the warm coat and everything.
So it snows in your village?
Yeah. Most of time.
So how cold does it get?
Around in the 5-6.
Minus?
Winter time.
Similar to where I come from, Scotland.
So all Melbournians, don't complain it's being cold in winter.
No.
So, and also I noticed it's Nepal, isn't it? It's not Nepal.
Yeah. And depend on the speaking, and some people say to Nepal, and some people say to Nepal, and I don't mind to the whatever they said.
As long as they don't call it down.
Yeah.
Do you get that? No. I don't know what I said. Anyway, just tell us now. You have your mum and dad, and did you have any brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I have a big family member, more than half dozen of family members.
Okay. So how many brothers did you have?
No, five. I'm youngest one.
Right. So five, you've got five brothers?
Five brothers.
Do you have any sisters?
I have two sisters, but one sister, she died around, she was in the 20 years old.
Okay.
And now only one sister.
Right.
Yeah.
So your village, how big a village was it that you come from?
A very small village, maybe maximum if you count in the population. Well, I was born in that time, maybe 1500.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a very small village where everyone knows each other.
Yeah, of course.
And also you said that your sister died at 21. That must have been quite devastating after having to raise her for that long, that many years.
Because due to of the health condition, she is delivery case and she died. And while the delivery and she gave a child in the daughter, then we took in the her to hospital by no transportation.
Oh.
And taking by the horse and watch take a time and all the bleeding by the time and she died. And that is a...
Sounds horrible, doesn't it?
It does sound horrible to have to take a woman giving birth on a horse, to stop the bleeding. How far was the hospital?
Almost 6-7 hours by walking.
By walking, and a horse would probably be 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's horrible. Now, you said, you know, you've got five brothers and you had two sisters and yourself and your parents. How big was your house?
A house, like a village house, and there is a no divided of room, like a two-story, like a, you know, the hot types of.
You had two stories?
Yeah, two stories, and there is a kitchen, and only the two or three room is divided, okay. Otherwise it's the same.
Because you told me a story about your cousins came to visit. One time, and this is actually your first.
The things is while I was in the, I think so 16 or 17. She was in the 30 years old, and he already married, and like a festival, big festival in Nepal.
Right. So your aunt and uncle and cousins came to stay with you. Right.
And everyone is visited in our house, and that day, that time is the day doing the traditional culture dance,
right,
and the women's dancing in outside, and later on men is coming to sleeping, and I was in the young, and my school exam.
You were in the house.
Yeah. I was in the house, and the, something happened.
What happened?
That how I say about a sexual in.
So it was your first sexual experience with your cousin.
Yeah.
Okay, because you all had to sleep together in the house.
That is in January, and the most cold season.
Okay.
And then.
It makes sense if it's cold, doesn't it? Everyone cuddles up together.
Yeah, it makes sense when it's cold to cuddle your cousin.
We need to share the blanket because it's limited, and the blanket and everything's. Mm.
And you didn't have beds, did you? You had mats on the floor.
Yeah, we had mats in floors, and we never sleep in the downstairs for the other stories, and upstairs because the cold is down and up is a little
warmer.
Warm.
Yes.
And the house is using the clay, no cement or no, only wood and clay.
Yeah.
And brisk.
Okay, so that was your first sexual experience. That's very good. Huh? And also, I mean, it must have been difficult, though, with so many people there. I mean,
so many people, but it's difficult. But you know, the things is one inside the one blanket, and it is not moving and nothing else, and
so it's just what you're used to, really.
Sleeping like a log and.
This is Orange Ribbon with Kafam and Hugh, and you're on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9, a diverse sound for a diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
Salam Bombay, A.R. Rahman. You're on Orange Ribbon, Joy 94.9 with Hugh and Kafam, and our guests tonight, Babu and Jeffrey. And we have a giveaway today.
We do. We have DVD of the week, The Fabulous Flag Sisters, How a Boy from Oz Became an Italian Superstar in a Frock. If you would like this DVD, call Nick on reception, 96992949. That's 96992949. Nick will take your call. The first caller through gets the DVD.
How easy is that?
It's very easy.
And we have with Babu today from Nepal, who lived at the foothill of Mount Everest.
Yes, we did.
Now, you worked as a Sherpa with the Sherpa guides. Tell us a little bit about that.
Almost in the tourist and adventure area, and most of people is traveling from Europe and Australia and New Zealand. And very much famous in, Mount Everest in the Tenzing Norpe Sherpa, as well in the Edmund Hillary.
Okay, yes.
And everyone talk about them. And while I was in 10 years old, and that time is, I think, it's 1990. And no... equipment about in the Mount Everest and the surrounding base camp
area. So you helped the Sherpas?
Not in the Sherpa people. I helped the tourist.
Right, right.
There is a job like who come to the travel the area,
yes,
trekking 15
yes.
days, 35 days and 10 days trip.
Right, so the tourists come and you used to help them set up tents and...
Set up the tent, carry the luggage, carry the food,
and you did
table,
some
everything.
Food and beverage yeah. service as well.
Yeah.
Was it good? You know, did you get a lot of tips?
That is because the witch is able to manage in the whole my family as well.
Okay, so you earned money for the family, basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
And as well, my school fee, my stationery, everything.
Really?
Yeah.
So you made quite a lot of money then from the tourists.
It is a hard work because of the 15 days in the carry, the 50 kg weight and all the way to the circle, the mountain area.
Yeah.
And how old did you say you were at the time?
That time since I started in the 12 years.
12 years old and you were carrying 50 kilos weight to help with this, you know, trekkers.
Yeah.
Wow, that is pretty hard work at you know at so young an age.
You must be pretty strong. But moving on from there, you eventually you attended college, and you saw an ad for a job in United Arab Emirates. Tell us a little bit about that. What was the opportunity?
This one is 1998 and 1995. I went to move to Kathmandu from village. Then I started my higher education level, college, and by the time I found in the one waiter training in Kathmandu, and then I started in the waitering job in the restaurant and hotel, and of my very best friends, and he's moving to the Abu Dhabi.
Right.
Then we need a money, and I said to let's go to the India. Then we found in the one agent in Kathmandu.
I just stop you there for a little minute.
Yeah.
You saw this ad for United Arab Emirates, but you had to apply.
Not in the United Arab Emirates. It was just a connection in the Mumbai and Kathmandu.
Right.
To people, and they say to the first hotel in Jumeirah, which is the best hotel in Dubai.
Right.
And then they recruit the people. They said, we'll recruit you to Jumeirah Beach.
Right.
Then we collect the passport and the money, everything, and we went to the India.
You went to Mumbai for the interview?
For interview.
With an agent.
And interview success, medical success, and we deposit passport, we deposit money.
How much money did you deposit?
All around in the 1,000 to 1,500 Australian dollar.
Oh. And just... so that the listener understands, you know, $1,500.
Yeah.
Maybe Jeffrey could come in here and explain this a little bit better. But Jeffrey, in Nepal, $1,500, how much would that be? I mean, how many years' salary would that be for someone?
It's a fairly large salary, and I'm not sure exactly how it converts in Nepalese rupees, but certainly you get more Nepalese rupees than you get Indian rupees for your dollars. But the transaction rates are different.
But $1,500...
It was a lot of money, and it was money that Babu didn't have, so he had to borrow it. And therefore, there was an added disadvantage in that he had to acquire the money in order to go there to see the agent to get this opportunity. And that's when the problems arose.
Right. So when you went to Mumbai and saw the agent, and you paid him the $1,500 and gave him all the paperwork, what happened? What happened with the job?
This is a fake and cheater. Agent is a fake, 100%.
So the agent was a fake.
Yeah,
so it was all a sham.
Yeah, because we are in 15 people, not myself only.
Mm.
Then everybody is upset and sad and some crying, and that is a bad things because we borrowed the money and we expecting good things.
Did you think about going to the police?
We think, but Indian police is a commission. The agent is related with them. Then they threaten us and you guys came to here illegally and we send back to Nepal and blah, blah.
This is On Driven with Kafam and Hugh, and this is Joy 94.9.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9, this is On Driven with Kafam and Hugh. Love the Third World by Greg Walsh. Wonderful singer. He sent this in to me, actually. I listened to the whole tracks, all the tracks, and I thought it was all great, but number three was the best one, I think, so we decided to play that. If you'd like to know more about Greg, you can go to www.greg-walsh.com, or you can call Nick on 9699-2949 on our reception, and he will give you that address as well.
And we have a winner as well for the prize.
We do. The winner of the DVD is Grant from Gordon. And just very quickly, we've got a message for Kafam. Kafam, love from Bernard and Tiong.
Hello.
There you go. Somebody out there loves you.
And also, getting back to our guest Babu, you know, who's our guest tonight from Nepal, and he was just telling us earlier how he was scammed $1,500, and that's about 5 years worth of salary.
So in Mumbai, this agent basically stole all your money, basically, yeah.
The first of all, we went in the Mumbai, and they sent the document to Kathmandu, and the following candidate visa is already came. These people is sent to Mumbai immediately.
Then, so there was no job, basically?
No.
No.
This is a fake agent. And
so what did you do? I mean, obviously you traveled all the way to India. You gave him all this money. Did you decide to go back home, or?
And my all other friends is a sum up. And
what did you do? Sorry.
Some of friends is went to the other country like Muscat or Saudi Arabia, and some of the back to Nepal. And myself, I decided in the I don't want to go back Nepal. And what should I say to my mom and dad? And I don't want to go to the Middle East either.
Right.
And I should find the job, and I start to find the job, and I start...
What did you do in Mumbai?
I work in fast food industry, Pizza Hut and McDonald's, as well as in the five-star hotel as well.
Right.
Then...
Right. So when you were working in the fast food industry, this was to get some money to live again, obviously.
And there is no my relative, an unknown place, and my Hindi language is not good either.
Right.
And in Mumbai, is a particular, is a different language.
Yes.
And a bit of hard, but there is a lot of job. I get a job in the almost in the 12 hours and 8 hours. And
because you were... Basically, in Mumbai, obviously you came from Nepal and you were, I suppose, considered an immigrant in the country, and you didn't speak the language very well. Did you get sort of treated like a second-class citizen? Were the jobs that you got, but the jobs that the Indians didn't want?
No, there is Mumbai only. The India is the one biggest city and big population. And other part of India also, in that they migrate to the in Mumbai.
Yeah.
And other things is one is Hollywood, like a Bollywood Indian movie.
Right.
And other lot of hotel industry and restaurant. And it is not hard to get a job, and they never treat like
they never discriminated against you. No.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was round about this point as well in Mumbai that you discovered your sexuality, didn't you?
Yeah. Because a huge city in there is so many magazine, and I found in the one magazine in which is a men's.
You found a magazine.
Yeah.
Okay. Was that a gay magazine?
It is not a gay magazine, and there is written about in the doctor column, and one Indian Punjabi student, and he said to him, I have this type of symptoms, and one of my best friend in my classmate, I attracted to him. I can't say anything.
Okay.
Then doctor said to that there is in Mumbai, in Hamsapur Trust, it's like also foundation.
Sorry, is it what foundation?
Similar like also foundation.
Right, okay, the also foundation. Yep.
Yeah, like in the Hamsapur Trust. And there is one magazine, is a gay magazine, is a Bombay Dost, and other one is Southeast Asia, is a Tricon.
Right.
And
so these are two gay magazines?
Yeah, two. Yeah.
Okay. So this is what you found and started reading, basically?
Yeah. After, while I get the magazine in, I buy the whole set of magazine in 5 years. Then I bring to the home and everyone is, we are sharing the room. Mm. And when the other, my roommate went to job, I lock the door and I take out from my bag and what happened in the magazine. And then at the...
So it was at this point that yeah. you suddenly, it suddenly dawned on you that you were gay.
Yeah, I realized I'm a homosexual, is a same-sex attraction.
Yeah.
And then after in the, I feel in the sad as well, mm-hmm. one side, and one side is a bit of proud as well. And sad things is because there are so many people in the world, why I'm naturally abnormal.
Like, okay, why so you I considered yourself to be abnormal.
Yeah, why I need a man instead of girls, and I think about that way as well.
This is On Driven with Kafam and Hugh, and you're on Joy 94.9.
Diversity is Joy 94.9.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
Good old Robbie Williams, Angels, Joy 94.9, Orange Bin with Hugh and Kafam, and our guest tonight, Babu, sharing us his story earlier, how he lost all his money and savings and then slaving his ass off in India to make it all back. Mm. That's where he's met his partner, Jeffrey.
And discovered his sexuality. Now, you discovered your sexuality through magazines, you were telling us, but at this point also, you discovered the internet, didn't you?
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit what you discovered on the internet.
While I started reading the magazine, in the last page of the magazine, and there is a friend finder. And all the things is the different part of India as well in the all over the world.
Right.
And then they give you email, and some of the places email, and some of the places organization support organization gay and lesbian.
Right.
And human rights and the everything. And I need to start to learn the computer that make me force. And I think about what should I do. I haven't any knowledge. Then I work the more hard, and I spend the money to the computer.
And so this is where you started on the chat, chat lines. On
and I finish in my job 11 o'clock, and then after I start, in, I went to the internet and whole night open internet till morning 5 a.m. and finish the internet. Then 6 o'clock went to bed and wake up in 12 p.m. noon, and then be ready and go job again.
It's run about this time as well on the internet. You met Jeffrey, is that right?
Yeah, 2002. I met in Jeffrey by Yahoo group, which one is run inside in the India.
Right.
And then he came to online, and we chatted about, and we start to exchange the email, and I invite to him and come visit in India. Then he visited.
So Jeffrey, You were in Melbourne at this time, Jeffrey.
Yeah, and I took the opportunity then to suggest to Babu that really there was not a lot of future in the fast food industry. He ought to go back to Nepal and get some tertiary qualifications and develop his skills. So he went back to Nepal and with
your
all
suggestion.
This information and worked really hard, and in the space of a couple of years got a bachelor's degree in hotel management. And then
excellent.
We made some plans to develop those skills, hopefully by bringing him to Australia. But as you know, the difficulties of coming to Australia are affected by one's linguistic ability. You've got to be able to speak English to come here as a student. So we enrolled him.
But you actually went to India, didn't you, at one point as well?
Yeah, I went to India for 5 years, for 6 months a year for 5 years. And when Bubba was away in Nepal studying, we weren't together. But when the festival times came, we met up with each other. There was also issues around me being monolingual. My language was only English.
But you went to India as a sexual health educator, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right. I went there as, at the invitation of the INP Plus, which is the equivalent of VAC, I guess, in India, the Indian Network for Positive People, as an educator and a consultant.
So did you go and visit Nepal and
yeah, I had a,
meet Babu there?
Yes, we did. We went. I took a different flight that landed in Calcutta and got to, that's the closest point to Kathmandu is Calcutta. So I went via Singapore Airlines into Calcutta. Instead of going by Malaysian Airlines into Chennai, I went into Calcutta up to Kathmandu. Then we took a car and travelled to Chitun, which is where his parents live, and from there we went by car to Pokhara, where the university is. And,
at this point, Babu, did your parents know you were gay?
Still they don't know about myself.
So you've never told your parents?
Yeah, never. I had a because in the Nepalese there is no problem about in the holding the hand with man, and I can bring the any friends, and they can sleep with my bed, and my mom, dad, and other people, they think about in the he's a best mate,
right?
Not like here if you hold and the people is start to the looking and they are gay.
So what you're actually saying is, outside, if you've got your arm around Jeffrey or holding his hand, nobody would think anything of it.
No one.
So you were holding hands with Jeffrey all over in Nepal.
Yeah, we can hold the hand and bring the home any man, not only Jeffrey, and the no one say about in anything. And the parent is they never think about in the he's homosexual or something. And they think he's a best friends. Work friends or students.
Isn't it amazing? Because nowadays I even see on the road, people from the subcontinent or from Nepal holding hands, two males holding hands. Mm. That does not mean they're lovers or boyfriends. Mm.
It's quite normal to see Indian guys walking around with their arm around each other's shoulders, and it's quite normal even in Melbourne. But at this point, Jeffrey, you then decided that Babu should come to Melbourne and live.
Well, we thought there were better opportunities for him to develop his skills and to get education that wasn't readily available in Nepal or in Mumbai. He'd managed to get himself very well accepted into a 5-star hotel in the Hyatt Regency in Mumbai, which is the epitome of serving hotels, quite a big hotel, and he was well liked and very competent in that area. But being paid in Indian rupees is not the same as being paid in Australian dollars.
And so how did you manage to get Babu to Melbourne?
Well, we opted to how could we keep him here? That was one of the issues, and one of those issues was that one of the ways was an interdependency visa, which necessitated us being together for a year. We thought we could prove that we'd been together in an organised fashion. But just in case, I invited him to come and learn English for 50 weeks at Holmes College.
Okay.
And that gave us the second option. We either got credited for the time we were together in India and in Nepal, which worked perfectly with the migration agent we had. Not the agent, the migration person in determining officer. She was very happy with our application and we didn't need to rely on that 50 weeks. But Babu's need of English is still a fairly significant issue, and so we thought that English was a good... and he didn't only do the Holmes course, he also did the Cambridge English course as well.
So now, what type of visa do you have now, Babu?
We have an interdependency visa.
Okay. So when do you get a full visa?
Interdependency was based on, Babu can remember the date because it's an important date for him. But 2 years later, it becomes permanent if we're still together. This is to prevent the sham relationships. There's a test period that you've got to be together for 2 years for that to become permanent.
So do you enjoy living in Melbourne, Babu?
Yeah, I do.
Do you miss Nepal?
I miss Nepal as well, but it need to be Australia because one thing is a freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a first married. I'm youngest son, and all my brothers and sisters and everyone is married, and they had a kids as well. And my nephew and niece is even they are married already, and they start to asking me, Uncle, when you are going to married? And I say to them, sometimes I always making a reason. I went in Mumbai, job, and Kathmandu study, and then in Pokhara study.
So in other words, you've always got an excuse why you don't get married.
Yeah.
That's good. Now, just very briefly, you told me that eventually you want to work with underprivileged children in Nepal and once you get your visa and everything here. And, I mean, Jeffrey worked in the HIV area in India, but you want to do the similar?
Because I born in the poor family, and then other things is I'm being a gay in poor, how hard life. And there is so many people.
Underprivileged.
They don't get education. Even they are a gay or lesbian, and they don't have any knowledge, and they finally they married, and the
so you would future, like to go back and maybe pass on your knowledge to them.
Yeah, and I want to help them to like a lifestyle and good education.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you very much. It's been interesting talking to you, Babu and Jeffrey. Thank you for coming in. That's it for another week, Kafam.
That's it. We'll be back again next week.
We will. Thanks for joining us on Ownership tonight. We'll be back again at the same time, 7 p.m. next Wednesday, with more insights into our JLBT multicultural community here in Australia and around the world. Thanks to Nick on reception for his help tonight. And good having you back, Kafam.
Well, it's good to be back.
Yeah, it's nice to see you again.
In case you're wondering why I've been so quiet, it's because I'm concentrating on this new panel.
Yeah, no, you let me do all the work tonight.
Well, I hope you enjoy the show tonight, and we'll see you again next week.
Yeah, bye-bye.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.